Good day. We come to you again and invite you to listen, and we are studying together the Gospel through John. We have seen in Matthew's Gospel how that Jesus is the Messiah. That's the great question in Matthew. We have seen in Luke's Gospel how he's the great deliverer from sin, death, and hell. When we come to John's Gospel, is given to us the marvelous revelation of the heart of God, the person of God, and his attitude toward men and women, and the provision he has made for men and women to become eternal and to become his children, members of his family, and made the provision for us to have unbroken eternal fellowship with him through eternity. Now we're dealing with John the Baptist in chapter 1, and we've been reading from verse 15 right on down through verse 34. And in verses 15 to 18, we have seen that John hides himself behind the Savior. That's his place. Christ is the preferred one. And then in verses 19 to 28, we have John in his worship. Here you have a heart in occupation with the Savior. And as I said in the last lesson, I could repeat it again. I want to mark John's humility. How easily he could have been puffed up. How easy it would have been for him to say, I'm not the Messiah, but boy, I'm telling you, I'm his forerunner. And draw attention to himself. Instead of that, he hid behind the Savior. And when they said, what are you baptizing for if you're not the Messiah, you're not the Christ, you're not that prophet? Well, the one I'm talking about is the one who's the preferred one. And you don't even know him. You don't even know him. And I say again, most of them never did come to know him. Why? Because their hearts were not open. Their minds were not open. With all the claims of our Christ to them in his messages, as he presented his credentials, which were his miracles, signs of his deity, signs of his messiahship, signs of his saviorhood, they wouldn't accept it. In fact, they could say at the end, we will not have this man to reign over us. They repudiated the Son of God. So it's wonderful to me to find a man like John the Baptist who is willing to hide behind the Savior as a worshiper. Oh, that would to God, and I say this reverently, would to God that everyone who professed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be a worshiper, to hide behind the Savior so that men might fall in love with the Savior. Not fall in love with his witnesses, not fall in love so much with his people, but to fall in love with a Savior who transforms his people. Oh, listen, friend, we have a Savior. Don't look at people and make your decision by looking at people. We're not talking about people. We're talking about a Savior. I want you to see him. He's the only one who can save you. He's the only one who's worthy of worship. He's the only one who can satisfy the cravings of your heart. He's the only one who can satisfy you. I know that. Now let's get along and take John's message. Now we've had his place behind Christ, his worship, a heart occupied with Christ. Now you come to his message, and you have here that he gives us, if I may give you four things, three things that have to do with his person and his message. Now, first of all, will you notice, his message is concerning the Savior. And the first message is, and I'm reading from verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But he that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. Now let me just stop right here. First of all, his first message, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That this one whom he's introducing to men is the sin bearer. He's the one who's going to fulfill all Old Testament sacrifices. Though he is rejected in verses 10 and 11, you remember. In verse 10, he was rejected by the world. In verse 11, he was rejected by Israel. He's introduced as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Will you notice, please, a contrast? Allow me to do this. In Matthew 1:21, and before I quote that verse, may I remind you that in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew is giving to us, he's proving the fact that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. This is the great question and answer in Matthew's Gospel. He's dealing with Israel. The first 12 chapters, he's dealing entirely with Israel. And then the door is flung wide open. But here you have Jesus introduced in Matthew's Gospel. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's the first promise in the New Testament. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. But when you come to John's Gospel, Christ having been rejected by the nation Israel, he introduces Jesus and says, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Not just the sin of Israel, but the sin of the world. Ah, this gives me an entirely new light on the Gospel through John. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's not the same. There's a difference. But when you come to John's Gospel, John is concerned about one thing. He wants you to fall in love with Jesus. And the very first introduction of Jesus is what? He's the one who removes the barrier between God and men. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Not the one who covers sin. Now in your Old Testament, sacrifices covered sin. But when you come here, John introduces him as the one who takes away the sin of the world. You remember in the book of Hebrews, which is, by the way, which was also written to Jewish Christians. He had Israel in mind in the book of Hebrews. And you remember in chapter 9, verse 26, where we read, He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. In Hebrews 10, verse 14, this man by one sacrifice for sins forever. The Apostle Peter could write in 1 Peter 3:18, He gave himself for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22-24, He bare our sins in his own body on the tree. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, He was made sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What I'm saying to you, my friend, is he was introduced to the world as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now I want to stop here for a moment. It's rather an amazing thing that John is the only one in the New Testament who calls him, gives him the title, the Lamb of God. Now, it's true that the Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, from about verse 19 on, speaks of the fact that our Lord was set forth as a lamb slain. But the title, the Lamb of God, was not given. He was as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these lifetimes for us who do believe in God. But when you come to the book of Revelation, you have it 28 times. Now, in this chapter, you have it twice. For example, in verse 29, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He's emphasizing why he came to put away sin. Now, you take in verse 36, John said to his disciples, Behold the Lamb of God, and he attracted them to his person. We'll speak of that later. But I want you to get this thought in your mind. He's the Lamb of God. Now, when you come to the book of Revelation, and remember, Revelation is the one great prophetical book of the New Testament, and Jesus Christ is revealed to us as the judge. He came the first time to the world to be a savior from sin, to redeem man, to reveal the Father. When he comes the next time, he's going to come as the judge. And you remember, in the first chapter of Revelation, you have the character of the judge. And then in chapters 2 and 3, you have he's a judge in the midst of the professing churches. And then from chapter 4 through 19, he's a judge in the midst of the nations. And you remember, if I may give you just two portions of that, just to emphasize what I'm after. In chapter 6, at the end of the chapter, I find the whole human race, the rich men, the captains, the kings, the leaders, the people, the bond and the free, they cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall upon them, to hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath, the wrath of the Lamb, is come. You take in chapters 12 and 13, chapter 12 I think it is, where we read that people, the nations, are going to be judged in the presence of the Lamb. Oh, listen, friend. Today he's the Lamb of God who has taken away our sins. He's offering himself for you as a savior from sin. But if I reject him, if I ignore him, if I am indifferent to him and refuse him as my savior, then, friend, I must meet him as my judge. I want to be very clear about this. Jesus Christ is either going to be your savior from sin and from death and from judgment, or he's going to be your judge. And when our Lord comes in his glory as the judge, they cry for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of him that cometh in his wrath. From who? From the wrath of the Lamb. Oh, what a terrible picture. The one they spurned, the one who loved men enough to die for them, is now going to come and judge them. And when they see him, they realize that the one they scorned, the one they hated, the one they were indifferent to, the one they spurned, is none other than the Son of God, Jesus, the Son of God. A friend, I say again to you, in Christ is life, and not to have Christ is not to have life. So the very first testimony of John the Baptist is, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now let's go on. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Again he talks about Jesus Christ being the preferred one. Now let's take the rest of it. In verse 31 down to verse 33, I want you to mark this. The Jews said to him, what are you baptizing for? You see, in verse 25, if you're not the Christ, if you're not Elijah, if you're not that prophet, why are you baptizing? Now his answer in verse 31, I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. Verse 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize, the same said to me, upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I, John, saw and bear record, this is the Son of God. John, why are you baptizing? For two reasons. I knew him not. Now, wait a minute, you say John knew Jesus? That's right. John knew Jesus of Nazareth. John knew Jesus as the son of Mary. You see, there's quite a bond between John and Jesus before the Lord was manifest. You remember Elizabeth, his mother, and Mary were very close friends. In fact, they were cousins. You find that in Luke chapter 1. So John the Baptist knew Jesus as a boy, knew him as a young man, but he did not know him in his official capacity as the Son of God, as the Messiah, as the one who would baptize with the Holy Spirit, as the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. I don't know who he is. But said John in verse 33, I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize said, you'll know him. For one of these days he's going to come to you, John, and the Spirit of God will come upon him, and you'll know that this is the Son of God. This was the reason why John came baptizing, that John may know who the Lamb of God was, that John may know who the Messiah was, that John may know who the Son of God was. Second reason why Jesus was baptized, if I might put it down now, Jesus was baptized for the second reason, that he might be joined to the ones who would believe on him. And I must go to Matthew to say this. When Jesus came to John, and I quote Matthew, John said to Jesus, "I have need to be baptized of you. Why do you come to me?" And the Lord's answer was to John was, "It becomes us to fulfill all righteousness." In other words, Jesus joined himself to the believing remnant in Israel. There were those who were baptized of John. They were sinners. They were publicans. And they were baptized of John to believe on the one who should come. And Jesus was baptized by John, joining himself to the believing remnant, the ones who should believe on him. But in this passage, primarily, it was that John may know who Jesus was. He came baptizing with water. Now, may I just inject this in passing? Christians are not baptized for this reason. We are baptized because of our union with Christ Jesus. We witness to the world that our hope is based upon the one who died for us and rose again. I'm not dealing with mode of baptism. I'm talking about the fact of baptism, our union with the Savior. We're declaring the fact that we belong to him. So you have here the reason why John baptized in verse 25, where he was asked the question in verse 31 and verse 33. And then in verse 32 I read, "And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." Now we come to the next passage. Why of John's message? First of all, he's the Lamb of God. Secondly, Jesus is the one who shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit in verse 33. "I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Spirit. And I, John, saw and bear record, this is the Son of God." I'm not going to spend time on the fact of our Lord baptizing with the Spirit of God, except to say this, that this is used seven times in the New Testament. You find it in Matthew chapter 3, in Mark chapter 1, in Luke chapter 3, in John chapter 1, and by the way, they're all the same. All John can do is to baptize with water. All man can do is to baptize with water. But Jesus is the only one who can baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now you have it also in Acts chapter 1, where Jesus pointed back to John's testimony when he said, "John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." And our Lord's own words concerning the testimony of John about the Lord baptizing with the Spirit of God was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, where the Spirit of God came upon the believers and baptized them into the body of Christ. Then you find it again in Acts chapter 11, when Peter defended his ministry down to the house of Cornelius, who was a Gentile. You remember the early church had Peter on the carpet because he went into the house of a Gentile and stayed with a Gentile and ate with a Gentile. This was contrary to what they believed. And so Peter said, "What could I? Who was I to withstand God?" He told him to give his testimony. And then he said, "They received the baptism of the Spirit of God like we did. Then remembered I the words of the Lord. John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." And then the last one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, where Paul wrote, "By one Spirit were we all baptized into one body." And by the way, he's talking here to Christians, those who've accepted the Savior. "By the one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, and have all been made to drink of that self-same Spirit." Now, that's as far as I can go today, except to say again in verse 34, I, John, saw and bear record, this is the Son of God. Now, I want to leave that with you today. Jesus Christ is not only the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's not only the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit, but he's also the one who has declared the Son of God. Friend, this is the preferred one. This is the one who is our Savior. This is the one who can transform your life. This is the one who can free you and redeem you out of all iniquity and forgive you every transgression. And all he wants is for you to come and put your trust in him. He is still saying to men and women everywhere, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, listen, friend, if you've never accepted the Savior, why don't you just come? Mean business. Put your trust in him the best way you know how. Put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you'll pass from death to life. And the Lord bless you.